Light, everyone. I am your super psyched Sadai. And these are my wolf brothers.
And I will be...
You just don't know him like I do. He's changed, Sadai. It's going to be better this time.
Jeremy, where are you? That's for you, brother.
Okay. Jumping right into it. So I've been trying to catch up. I am nowhere near caught up because, wow. Have we been like not paying attention the last two seasons, or are they like we've been complaining about them not putting an ad campaign together, and it took, you know, they didn't do enough, I think, early on to like just remind people that this was a real show that they should be excited about either now or later. But like, there's a lot of content right now, right?
There's a lot of content, but you do need to find it. Like, there's the teaser, there's the trailer, there's a ton of movie poster drops, there's an absolute ton of interviews that they've dropped. They've dropped scenes, they've dropped the cold open, and one other scene at least. It's sort of it's almost a bit like a guerrilla marketing campaign, right? Like, they're doing different things in different media. And of course, as soon as you find something in one form of media, you'll be interested and then go and search for the rest. I do think... I don't know if they've done a massive ad buy, let's say, to push the trailer or the last trailer in front of millions of people. But I hope that they will ramp it up now. There's just a week to go. And of course, we've got that world premiere tomorrow of episode one. So that's going
to
be
exciting. I was just trying to look up the sneak peek on YouTube and I couldn't find it. I could find videos
so funny, talking about it. But I couldn't. At some point, they removed the sneak peek from the official channel and then it was still available on Prime New Zealand and Australia. And it's available in the Prime app. But it's weird. I actually don't know why they did that. But I think they could have kept it up and just allowed more people to discover it over time.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Yeah, I was listening too. I was watching stuff today and I think it was Woad Up who was who reminded me. And even he was like, hey, it's in my show notes. And I was like, no, it's not.
No, but it's not, because that link is gone.
And I finally found it. And so, yeah, we'll be watching it and then hopefully podcasting right after. Is that something it won't be a long one, but I think no.
I don't think we're allowed to, Des. I mean, I don't know.
Well, then let's just get on and laugh at everyone who didn't see it. No spoilers. Just like,
I don't think, no, honestly, there's no way for them. There's no way for them to stop anyone from doing anything because thousands of people would have
signed up. That's the way I looked at it. But also, John and those guys kind of have some insides with the people who run the show or produce the show. Yeah. So they probably don't want to fuck up any connections. We don't have any of those. So we can just do what we want.
Yeah. Well, I think people are going to talk about it.
Well, I'm going spoiler free. I don't want to make any spoilers, bro. I don't want to do spoilers.
I might actually miss it tomorrow, unfortunately.
You can. It's Saturday.
It's around about 8 p.m. our time. It's Ramadan at the moment, and we've been invited to some iftar thing. So I might be going to have some very nice food in a very nice hotel. So I might end up missing it.
Yeah. Are they only like letting it run through once at that time, and that's it?
I would assume so. I don't think they're going to leave it up. Yeah. It's okay. The anticipation will build. I'm okay with that.
I'm going to do it guerrilla style, just like the 80s. I'm going to set up my camcorder.
Yeah.
Or my GoPro.
80s. We're talking about early 2000s, you mean?
Yeah. Record it on my GoPro. And just
do that. Send me a bootleg copy. I would love to watch it that way. For me, you know what's funny? The best MCU trailer that I ever saw was the bootleg of the Infinity War trailer that a guy videoed on his phone at, I think it was San Diego Comic-Con, that was only shown to that audience and at D23. And I can still hear, whenever I watch that on YouTube, I can picture my mind the audience voice, like the guy's voices in the video, these people obscuring. But honestly, that thing just sent goosebumps down my spine. That was the official trailer out the water for the experience.
That's awesome.
So yeah, please send me a very dodgy bootleg.
Well, and even if we can't talk about it or don't talk about it or can't find time to talk about it, just to make Fatty and Mai's Thursday that much more possible. Yeah. Like Thursday was going to be tough trying to cram three episodes and trying to keep our podcast under 2 hours was going to be a tough sell. But I think we can pull it off now with the sneak preview. Yeah.
We know for sure they're going to drop the first three episodes. I mean, they've done it the first two seasons, right?
That's what I've read. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy because episode four is the Ruidian sequence, right? So that's already massively like deep into the season to drop the first three episodes. There's a lot going to happen.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, I was just watching the cold open again. And this kind of goes into my big argument going all the way back to the breaking of like, how come people talk so much but don't talk at all? How are there people in the White Tower of the third season cold open still guffawed by someone saying Moraine found the dragon reborn?
Because it's been a 20-year secret.
It's been a deep secret.
Between Suan and Moraine, and that's it.
Yeah.
The second the dragon emblazes the sky, word travels.
Well, that's the last
thing
we saw.
This cold open does not take place 35 seconds after season two ends.
That's true.
Well, they don't have cell phones, Des, and they can't travel. So
then why does anybody know anything? Okay, either A, no one knows shit, and they're surprised. They don't even believe that there are humans on the other side of the river.
You have people who travel from town.
You can be skeptical about things.
Tinkers,
yes, remember, soldiers, news sailors. Travels slowly and it's not direct from source, right? It's someone who told someone else who saw, who was there, who is a relative of someone. And then that message gets passed to a merchant and that merchant passes it to the market and then the market.
For example, at the end of the Great Hunt, beginning of the Dragon Reborn, right? Every time they get to a new town, there's a drawing of Matt fighting Rand fighting Ishmael in the sky. That's how word is traveling from town to town to town. So you figure to cross the continent to get to Tarvalin, it's going to take, I'd say, a month.
We're not talking about peasants. The White Tower has informants traveling to corner.
That's true.
Right. That's right.
But I mean, let's see how that's
a pigeon. They have pigeons, right? I think they have pigeons in this world.
I believe so.
They sent a bird. They say sent a bird or a messenger.
Let's see how it plays out. I feel like this is one of those details. So here's my take on the show, right? I think the devil of the details is not where the show is going to like really show its strength. I think it's a show about vibes and it's a show about themes and it's a show about sort of, you know, where the plot needs to go to make the cool thing happen. If you're going to pick apart every detail, you're going to find holes. Even in the cold open, there's stuff you can say. Why are these guys banging on the door? why are these Aes Sedai standing there instead of joining? You know, there's a lot you can say by looking at each person in the background and trying to piece together the logic of why would this person say this inside the chamber? Why would Swan allow Leandrin to throw out those accusations while she's being?
Yeah, why would she even have it? I get it that she tried to. Keep
the thing is, right.
Do you think the Reds are the only Black Aja?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to try to apply that level of detailed logic to what's happening in the scene because in the end, what matters is that the conflict happens, right? And there's merit to both sides' accusations. So how they get there in terms of the way the show is written is less important than the fact that they do get there. And I think you'll have a really bad time with the show if you try to nitpick the logic of all the characters' decisions, and you'll have a really good time with the show if you just appreciate that there's enough justification for how they got to the place they got and why the conflict has started. And then, of course, just see how they resolve it.
Okay, then my only question to you is, what the fuck are we doing here?
God damn it, I was going to defend you, son of a bitch. I was literally going to say, in defense of Desmond, he's only got, three books, right? Are you on the Shadow Rising now, Des? Kind of?
Yeah, you are.
You were there. Okay. In defense of Desmond, as someone who doesn't know the books it is their Bible, like people like us, what makes me most upset is not people like Desmond asking that question. That's a fair fucking question from him.
Yeah, it is a fair question.
The people who, like me, have read the books at least five times and listened to them at least that many more times will go and try to pick those things apart when it's like, did you do that to the books? Because there's a lot of shit that you can do that to in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw
this meme with on the one side Wheel of Time and the book is this thick, a stack of books this thick, and there's another one next to it that says Wheel of Time and people spoke to each other and it's just this thin. So I mean, there's a lot.
Matters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and
there's a lot of
and you're right about the themes. You're right about it being a show about themes. I feel like, you know, that was a big, you know.
It's about vibes and
that was
it's
the
about
book. That was the book, you know. You would,
it's just,
you know,
it, you would to get me, stuff it, it's good. The only reason it keeps jumping out to me is it seems incongruous. Either news travels or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And
yeah, has there been an example for you where news traveled very fast, Des, and not slow in this world that I'm missing?
Let me think on that.
Because I'm like that with I'm like that with stuff too. But it's like a football game. If you're gonna call ticky tack pass interferences, call it the whole game. Call it on both sides. Just be consistent with it. Is all I'm saying. And if it's consistent, then I'm fine with it. But I can't think of one time where it was like, well, you know, they found out this shit the next day. And the only time that that's gonna happen in this show where it would make sense is if it's something that Dark Friends need to know. Because at this point, Dark Friends are the only people who can travel and or go to people and talk to dreams besides the IEO, and we haven't met them yet. So any kind of news that travels that fast is Dark Friends. Anybody who finds out a rat ran that fast is Dark Friends. So Leandrin probably had to, even if she knew day of, next day, the hour of, she's gonna have to wait for word to come to the White Tower so she doesn't give herself away. But a problem with the cold open, like you said, she jumps right into it. That's pretty ballsy when you only have four other people to get your back about against like 13 right there. Or how many other good sitters were in the hall? You know, I don't know, 7, 8. You're definitely outnumbered. Let's just say that.
I don't understand the logic of trying. Well, maybe she was. The minute
No.
But here's the thing, right? The minute Nynaeve walked into the room, she was toast. She was absolutely.
Yeah, she was fucked. So she just had to.
That was Hail Mary. It was Hail Mary. She was probably convinced she was going to be stolen, right, and taken prisoner. So if not killed, that's right.
The line is great. Well, I tried.
Exactly.
So a perfect example actually is. So this is I'm complaining about something from the last scene of season 2 to the first season of season 3. When season 2 starts, the whole fucking nation knows about Nynaeve and what she did to those Trollocs.
No.
Yes. Everyone knows.
Back of us. Who's everyone?
Ever lived. No one questions it. Everyone's like, I heard about this chick who is the most powerful.
Has nothing to do with the Trollocs in Winter Night. Nobody even knows about that. It has to do with her healing everyone in the cave with Loghain, with 5 other sisters and 5 other warriors around. That's how word travels fast. Once all those people got back to the White Tower.
So when after the dragon, the flaming dragon flew across the sky, everyone went back to the White Tower. Mum's the word.
No, but it takes a month to get back there. Those people were already traveling the tower. And if you remember, in the first season, when they finally get to the tower, that says 1 month later. And that's basically
I think Des has a point, though, because we're not, and he's right, we're not talking about peasants or merchants or anything. We're talking about actual White Tower spy network in farm.
People who have access
to it. Who would get on a fast horse or a ship and book it straight to the White Tower to inform their informants of such an important event. Look.
That's a good point. There was a messenger that got on a horse that day and took off and probably rode his horses to death for 5 minutes.
And they bloody well would have, right? For what have the importance of what happened. So look,
that's a good point.
How it plays out in the episode.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping for a bit of maybe at least 30 to 60 seconds of extra footage, because the editing on that cold open is extremely tight. There's a bit of incontinuity.
There's going to be at least a couple of minutes, because I've heard the cold open's 15 minutes. So I think we
But if it's maybe 4 minutes longer at the back end with the Alana fight or whether it is somewhere in between to give a bit more context, I think that matters.
Are you talking about in the hall itself, like that whole
scene? In the hall itself, 30 extra seconds would do a lot. Because there's a few jump discontinuities and there's a few, like, things happen very fast. And I think it's extremely
dense. We'll get a little bit more in the depository as well. There's got to be a little bit more either before or after.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah? That would be really interesting.
Excited to see it. Get into some predictions? Yeah, should we get, now that we're done arguing about things, should we get some predictions? Yeah.
Well, here's kind of a prediction. do we have any, it's not a prediction, it's a question that can lead to some predictions. Do we have timestamps yet on these episodes? Are we talking 75, 80 minutes now? Or do they seem to have a hard cap at 70 minutes?
We actually don't have timestamps. It's a good point. I'm going to assume the same as last season, because they're already starting to be quite long. How long was Rings of Power episodes?
Never watched it. I do not know.
I think because Rings of Power season 1 started at least 10 minutes longer than Wheel of Time season 1.
So they were probably at 70 minutes.
Oh, I just texted.
Hey, Jeremy. There you are.
Woohoo!
What's up?
Yes. What's up, guys?
It wouldn't surprise me if they pushed it another 5 minutes longer, but I think the season two episodes were already very long.
Yeah. What's the name of the Lord of the Rings show again?
Rings of Power.
I think it's called the Giant Waste of Money.
not the Rings of Power show.
Oh, you said that was this show, Jeremy. You can't just have that for everything.
No, this is a giant waste of time.
Oh, okay. Waste of Wheel of Time, if you will.
Keeping in theme.
Yes.
Oh, the Giant Waste trilogy of Amazon. Oh, everybody, this is a momentous occasion. Let's just take a moment and welcome Jeremy back to the podcast forever. He's not going anywhere. We'll hunt him down.
I watched the episode last week, and I was on there. I was prominent.
Oh God, I'm so glad.
Perfect picture too. Perfect picture.
Happy. You know what's funny? This isn't actually the corner of my room. This is a picture of that corner of my room. Green screened behind me.
You're like, this is. I don't like this corner. We're going to put it on this corner.
Okay, well, let's get to, as much as I want to get to Jeremy, because we haven't talked to him in so long, the editor.
I got nothing to say. This show sucks. Keep going.
You got so much to say, Jeremy.
You got so much.
The editor's on a little bit of a time crunch tonight, so we want to make sure.
All right, well, let's get to these, like you said, predictions. I really only have one big prediction for this season, that because other ones are kind of like for fun and the stuff that we did with Jeremy the first couple seasons and just, you know, not even close to happening. I think, and Des, you won't know this as much because you haven't quite got to it in the book. I think that Alanna will bond Perrin forcefully, not Rand, because I don't think she'll be around Rand enough after one of her warder dies, because she's going to end up in the Two Rivers. And you catch that one scene where she's still got painted face in mourning, and she goes up to Perrin while he's mourning in the apple trees for either his family or his wife or both. And she's coming up to them, and that's like a really emotional moment. I could see that happening right there. And while it, you know, I think they could get away with that, because she's not, it's more of just a talking point for most of the books until the very end. And so I feel like you could make that happen with Perrin and her. And it could be intriguing because Faila's in the Two Rivers now. It will cause, you know, some tension and stuff. So that's my biggest prediction. It's kind of lame. But.
Interesting. I haven't thought about it in detail. That's a good one. I have a slightly different idea. So I think they are, probably not writing Meryl into the show. So I think Alanna naturally is going to be the candidate to take over Lan's bond at some point.
Oh, okay.
And that makes sense. I think either they do it that way, that she takes on his bond, and then of course we know what needs to happen later on without going into spoilers, or they write it in such a way that she would take his bond, but it ends up not happening because they shortcut that plot arc and do something else, as we know what might happen later, right?
Yeah, so that Nynaeve can, you know, claim him.
Exactly. Well, I was trying to be spoiler-free, but yes. So I think that could be the direction they're going to go. The reason I said it, I don't know what the character dynamic will be with Perrin being a warder to Alanna, because ultimately I don't know how.
Well, she's already had his bond once, so.
Perrin? No.
Oh, Perrin. I thought you said Lan. I thought you were still talking about Lan.
No, Perrin.
That would be interesting because I could see him being super mad, and then once he gets with Faile, it's going to get weird. And we know if Faile is anything like her book counterpart, you know, she's fiery, to say the least. She's got a Latin temper. So do we think everybody's together in Tarvalen or Tarvalen at the beginning where Matt's like posing with the horn and everything? That's definitely that's Tarvalen, not still in Falm in any way.
Definitely, they're all together. I think they're in Tarvalen, and I think that they will probably in future seasons, because we know the books that the last time the characters are all together is in book 4, and they're never all in the same place at the same time for the next 9 books, right? Which is
exactly.
A bit sad.
They're all in the Stone of Tyr, and then never again.
I think the TV show will orchestrate that we do see them at least once a season all together, and I think that's okay for character dynamics, right? You don't want to have always everyone just doing their different things. It feels very uncohesive.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask what you think. Elida is like foretelling will play with the royal family of Camelin or Andor, I should say. And I don't really care about that. I don't want to waste time on that. I mean, I think it's gonna. I think that Elida's arc is not going to be as big as all the people who are boning up about it. I think she's going to have a way smaller part to play, at least right now.
Not in this season, in later seasons.
Yeah, as I said, I think she's not going to have a ton of screen time this season, but I think she could come around more. So, like I said, I don't really want to waste time on that. My next, who is the Aiel, I think, woman channeling the like fire sword? Or is that?
That's Avienda.
Is it? And do we think that's Telen Riad or like shit's happening?
No, I think shit's happening in the camp. And she's channeling a fire spear or something like that, which I don't like. I mean, honestly, I dislike it completely. Like, it's just pointless.
I mean, it's going to be great screen time, but yeah, you don't need it.
Unless she faces severe consequences from the Wise Ones as a result.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to do that.
If she does it irresponsibly, and then the Wise Ones, because that's a good way to also show the audience that the Wise Ones don't get involved in the violence, right? Because they're supposed to be above the clans and try to mediate and so on and so forth.
But she's going to be a Shadowspawn, though, right?
If they go to her and tell her she's either a spear sister or she's training to be a Wise One and she should never mix the two, and they, you know, do a whole lore dump and all of that, then it's fine. And she needs to be in trouble and they need to, you know,
give her some... Yeah, because she's wearing her maiden garb and then she's channeling.
Exactly.
So, exactly. Yeah, even if it's against Shadowspawn, they're going to be like, this is why you need to train to be a Wise One. You're going to...
Exactly.
Let's go.
So it needs to be contextualized as a mistake, as a rash, you know, thoughtless thing that she's done, and she needs to get in trouble for it. Then it's just,
if you want to be a spear sister, be a spear sister. If you want to be a Wise One in channel, then you need
then
to
give up your spears and come train. Yeah.
So
and run 1,000 laps for that. Whatever.
Just like we've grown in Star Wars lore. Like in the late 70s, it was black and white. That's it. There's good and bad. And you pick one, and that's your life. And then, you know, we found out that,
as we all know, life's not that simple.
And then Anakin was a little good, a little bad. I know this from Justin from reading all the books. I've never read a Star Wars book because I use my time wisely. But
whoa,
the gray Jedi, like there's the gray Jedi that understands that. You know, sometimes a good guy needs to use lightning. And would it destroy everything that the Wheel of Time was built around if these clans weren't so structured? And if you cross a line, then you be shunned forever.
I mean, with the Aiel, right?
I think that with the Aiel, they need to be a bit zealous. I think they need to be pretty hardcore on their rules, right?
Well, they needed to be to survive the waste. But if the world is opening up and your whole existence isn't doomed to the waste, maybe you could loosen your britches a little bit.
But that happens afterwards, right? You need to psychologically break them down as it happens in the books. Yeah. And it needs to be justified, right? We cannot be introduced to them already having this morally gray spectrum. They need to really be super hardcore, one way of life. And if you don't follow that way of life, they ostracize you. And
no, you're definitely right. They need to earn their gray Jedi badge. And if it happens quickly, I agree.
Which happens in the books, right? And it happens in a very organic way. And I mean, I hope we see it in episode 4 and onwards. I'm really looking forward to it. And if there's one sequence, forget about the box, forget about Dragon Mount, forget about all the other things. For me, the Wheel of Time is chapter 25 and 26 of book 4 only.
Okay.
The Iridian sequence. Okay. The glass columns. That is the Wheel of Time. That is when the Wheel of Time becomes not Lord of the Rings +++. And it becomes
chapter 24 and 25?
Absolutely.
Don't say that. Right.
25 and 26.
Yeah.
25 and 26. It's called The Road to the Spear, and then the next one is called The Dedicated.
Yeah. Well, I think we ended on The Road to the Spear. I think the last chapter, Jess,
that was the last thing we did.
Was 25. And now we're going to do this for 6 months, and we'll get to chapter 26 sometime in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you've read both, then read them backwards.
Okay.
It's a good experience.
Nice.
Love it. If they nail that, which is episode 4, then I'll be very happy. And if they don't, I'll be extremely disappointed, like beyond words. So there's a lot riding on it.
I'm
gonna make Jeremy talk. I'm gonna make him talk. Jeremy, you can answer these ones, but your answer cannot be "I don't care, it's lame, or this sucks." Okay. You gotta have some extrapolation. And
Jeremy, it's been nice seeing you.
They're softballs. I hate you the most. Take it down. I will not be a part of this, sir. Turn off his fucking...
Just remember, yes and, not no but.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent.
I know you've already said that. You know, Edder, you and I have the same understanding. I'm not a... what is it?
A zealot?
What you were just saying... yes and no, and you know, you don't say no, right? What is it that they
yes and
not only that, but you know, you and I understand that Justin. Every time Justin is like, no, hard stop. No, that's not it. No,
I'm like, because no, I'm right, Jesse, bro.
You gotta flow. Like when you make fun of me, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, yeah, I totally am that.
Justin is Michael Scott. He pulls a gun in every scene.
Absolutely. Jeremy, why are you putting your hands up again?
I'm way open minded.
He whispered into my ear. Down to the left corner of me. See, he just talked over it.
I'm an air dicker. Damn it.
Yeah, I've watched none of this stuff. I'm not going to watch this season. It's like
okay.
Did you watch the season 2 fan edit? I have to ask.
You know what? I will. No, excellent. I won't. I won't lie. I'm not going to watch it. Season 2 is so bad. Friend.
You're rude. You're rude.
No, listen. I'm sure it's amazing. I really am. I don't want to give Amazon. The quicker that this show dies, the quicker it goes away.
It ain't gonna die.
Listen to me. There's no season 3 or no season 4, right? No one's talked about it. Rafi Jedekins got fired. He's not gonna be doing the God of War stuff. So people are losing, huh?
Yes, and
it's not because they're like, oh, we really need you to work on this Wheel of Time. It's a blockbuster, guys. Everything's really kicking butt. It's
hey, not. Everybody says good. So I see.
Everybody that I talk to on Twitter says it's really awesome. I don't know. All 7 of them are
Hey, Jeremy,
it.
Everybody a lot. In my echo chamber says Trump isn't that bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know.
Justin,
every
Justin
racist Trump, piece of shit but, I know.
But you know what he really loves? He's like one of those people, one of those guys that like goes and pulls the hair of the little girl that he really likes. Because if you look at behind him, if you look, you can't see it right over here. Justin has a MAGA hat. It's just off camera. He's got like 5 of them. Yeah, he totally does.
It's been a long time since you've been around me. I almost beat the fuck out of this dude in my fucking work yesterday because he was talking about crazy shit, how one of our girls needs to get raped. And I was like, I'll fucking get out. I will kill you.
Anyways, so the Wheel of Time.
This is for pizza friends.
So now Jeremy.
Not sequitur.
Redneck. So,
Jeremy, if let's say you don't watch anything.
I was going to ask you about the Angry Hills and the cold open, but.
And you get, he hasn't seen it. It doesn't matter.
I know. I can't, so I can't anything.
You get wind that the end of season 3 ends well. Like it's whatever the good thing that could happen. They get there.
They cancel the show. That's the only thing that could happen.
Oh, for Jeremy. That's going to bring me back to my original point. Would you watch the finale? If you heard enough good things about it, and then consider if you liked it, backtracking through the season, or even if they got somewhere you were happy with, you're like, I don't care how they got here; it took too long.
Well, I would never do like what you said. Like, I would never just watch the finale. Like, if someone said if the finale came and they said it would have to be a lot, and a lot of people that
I understand, I'm asking a lot, but
yeah, it would have to be. I literally don't know who I would hear that from and be like, oh, wow, I guess I have to actually.
Well, maybe
let's just say.
Well, it's not necessarily so, because Justin's going to tell you it's good and you're not going to believe him. But if you hear like facts, like this happened, and this happened, like not trusted people, because you can't trust anybody,
right?
Any critics about the Wheel of Time. But you heard specific facts, like this happened, Rand pulled Kalendor, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And it ended there.
Yeah, I would totally go back and watch it. I would. Okay. Yeah, I can. Listen, this is not the hill.
If your Lord and Savior, Orange Jesus, said, hey, Wheel of Time was so good. Man, if you really love me, you will watch because I can pretend to be Rand with a flaming sword. Would you change your mind?
White Cloak's only...
This question is for you too, fellas.
Only if Donald Trump did it from and spoke exactly to me. Then yeah, I would.
If he called you, it was like, "Yo, hello, Jeremy."
Oh, he calls me a lot. He just never would say the Wheel of Time's any good.
I just want to talk to you for a second about getting shot in the ear. I want to tell you, Rand is the dragon. in.
I was just on the phone with Elon.
He's definitely.
I hate you so much. Why are you my family? You're terrible. Just kidding. I love you.
Okay, so now
Justin, stop talking.
Elon dies at the end of season 2 finale, right?
To answer your question, Desmond, I would absolutely, if I thought that this show got better, and editor, actually, I actually listened to the episode where we were talking about before season 2 started.
Yeah.
I think you said that if they get the glass columns correct, and like you were just saying, if they get that right, and I said the same thing, if they get that right, I would say I'm back in.
Yeah.
But that was before season 2. Hmm. And season 2 was such a letdown. It was such a, just a, so bad.
I'm one of the very few people that I know that rate season 1 above season 2 from a writing point of view. Not from a production.
I rate season 1 above season 2 100%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things about season 2 that I love, and there is almost as much stuff as I fucking hate about it. Jeremy almost got me until I started seeing all this shit. I was almost there because I was getting really fucking bummed out because I was just like, your edit made a big difference, but dude, like, you did all you can, and it's still, like, fuck, man. But you cut out, it's like you cut out so many of the things that are distracting and lame. I actually noticed more of the good things that they actually did. So that's huge.
You polished that turd.
But in the end, dude, you put the most lipstick on that fucking pig because like I said, the things that they did that were good that I liked, I fucking loved. But the things that they did that I hated, I'm kind of like, it stacked on season 1. And like you said, from a writing point of view, I think watching your season 1 edit really drives it home. Like, fuck, this is actually pretty good. It just got distracted by some things that pissed me off. So
yeah. And season 2 is sort of more of that, right? Like there's a lot of dead time with the extra 10 minutes per episode that they've given themselves, which makes
Get that they had to do a lot of things to smash some stuff together, but you have no excuses this season. If it's not nailed, you're fucking dead.
Yeah. This season, there's a lot of plot this season, which is the cool thing. There's three massive major plot lines and then a lot of secondary plot lines. So
there are things you can't swing and miss on because then it is over. It like you both said, if they fucking wheelhouse it and fucking knock it over the fence, then they're gonna bring a lot of people like Jeremy who are like, this is pissing me the fuck off, to at least try it. And a lot of people who are on the fence to be like, all right, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Jeremy, how lame is the fight gonna be between Matt Gallant and you know who I'm talking about, Double G.
Do you think it'll happen? Or is it?
If you haven't been watching everything, it's going to happen. You see Matt grabbing a quarterstaff in the yard in Tarval, and you see Gowan and Galad fighting right before that. So it's definitely,
Why would Matt need a quarterstaff? He's got a lightsaber.
That would ruin it for me. If that was his Ashendari at the end, I'd be like,
We're going to jump ahead a little bit. but I want to make sure and get some big opinions from the editor. Where does season 3 end?
I'm going to make a strong prediction. I think it ends at the docks.
I like that.
You think so?
Or
something similar. Maybe not necessarily the docks.
Honestly, it would be like the best. It would be the best way to close the season. Just like end on.
That was one of my questions.
WTF
between you know who?
Yeah, just let it end on a very big WTF and leave another 18 months of speculation.
Do you think it's going to be the same? I'm going to try to say this without saying any spoilers.
You could say Redstone Doorway. That we've seen it.
Okay. Do you think that's going to happen? It's going to be the Redstone Doorways. Have you seen any indication of that?
There is a Redstone Doorway in a background of one of the shots in the trailer.
It's in the White Tower, correct? The 13th of
there's one in the White Tower, and there'll probably be another one in the Rudy.
I will do you one better on your prediction, editor. I think I wasn't really thinking about it until you said that, but I've been trying to think about how they get Matt to stand in front of that redstone doorway to end.
He goes in the one and he comes out the other. That's the simplest
thing. I think he won't go in it. I think, like you said, the docks, maybe a couple of the ladies go through it, and then Matt, you see him standing about to go through it, you know, at the end of the season or something.
I have a different idea. I think he goes in the one in Tarvalon. I think he has one visit
and then pops out.
And pops out.
That's what I was thinking at first.
And he pops out in the one in the Ruin. That's the way to get him from there to there without, you know, having him on his own traveling
Awesome.
And then you get, then you probably get some Sindal too. That was kind of my first theory, and more of like a hope than a theory, I guess I should say. But now that you're saying about the docks, I'm like, you know, I could see Matt going from place to place, or at least getting ready to go into it. Cause like, you know, that cliffhanger, they just disappear and then we don't know what happens. Yeah. And then Matt goes in and we don't know what happens.
Yeah.
So do you think that they're actually going to do the snakes and foxes, even though you've seen nothing? I would have thought that if they're doing that, you would see that in any type of preview for the season, like even if it's just a short glimpse, because it's going to be.
We've seen the Red Storm doorway and it looks legit as fuck.
I think
that's my only thing.
Honestly, I don't think it's so hard to do
an Easter egg, but
honestly, it's I think people are overplaying how difficult it would be to do the snakes and foxes. I mean, the Trolloc makeup and costume in season one, episode one, was amazingly done. Yeah. Right? So doing a bit of snake skin and a bit of fox sort of features, that's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not hard, I don't think. And a doorway to someplace else, Narnia, that's all I'm saying. Like, it's not, you can wrap their mind around it.
And honestly, doing like a background that looks like it's warped and so on, that's just green screen and CGI. That's not, like, it's not even CGI. Just actually video the thing and put a fisheye lens on it or something, and it's simple.
Jeremy's not actually here, you guys. That's just movie magic.
Did you see that last week, Jeremy? I was dying. Yeah, I was laughing.
I watched it. Well, you know, you guys said that you had two people viewing at the time. One of them was not me.
Woo!
I watched it later after the fact. So
yeah,
nice.
It was not me.
Everyone, join us the next upcoming couple Thursdays. Justin and I are going to be here every Thursday night, 8 o'clock, talking about the most recent episode. Be here, be square. So before we get too far off it, I would if Kalendor happens, would it have to happen in the middle of this season? Could it not?
No, it's not going to happen this season. So we have an interview with Rosamund Pike, which talks about how they move things around.
Okay.
Kalendor will happen. It will happen if it happens next season. And the way it will happen is that when Rand takes the Aiel back into the Westlands,
they will go to the.
They will go and capture Kalendor to fulfill the prophecies type of thing.
Because I was thinking that could be the big kind of WTF ending moment where
No. That won't happen this season.
So now they're really hyping the Battle of the Two Rivers.
As they should.
If done right.
But that's not, are they hyping that to bury the true finale? Or do you think it ends with the Battle of the Two Rivers?
I think I think the battle is episode 7. Like, people know the episode titles and the plots by now. It's available online. I do believe it's episode 7.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
So then what's episode 8?
I don't know, but it's got to end at the docks. there needs to be a lot of. Yeah.
Hey, what about this? What if the opposite happens because there's no docks in the waste? What if Moraine gets from the waste to Tanchico docks by the Redstone
doorway? Yeah. Look, it doesn't have to be at the docks, right? It just needs to be at the doorway.
But so you know what I'm saying? But what if it is something like that?
Yeah.
Motherfucker, if I don't see water in the background, you fail. Sorry. The editor.
Everyone.
Well, and
CGI something into the edit. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can just change this. You can make your own edit of this podcast and just be right as fuck at the end of the season.
We did get a little teaser. I don't know if editor, if you saw this, Jeremy. I know you didn't. Des, you may or may not have. We got kind of a leak of there's a new Forsaken. And I hate it. There's a new Forsaken. And there's a clip in Moraine, what's her face? Moraine Pike put it on her Instagram story. And it looks like a very short man in all black and silver. And I'm wondering if it could be Samael in the waist instead of Asmodeus.
If it's very short, it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know. They're gonna.
I like how you say that with like full confidence. Well, it has to be, right?
No, it definitely doesn't. Jeremy has proved to me it does not have to be.
It wouldn't go away from the story, right?
Never.
I'm just curious. I was wondering if they heard anything about Asmodian. We don't have any casting news. There's no rumors and so on. He's definitely there.
Yeah. My thought is maybe it's a Bilal kind of thing where he gets, you know, the no scope that Bilal gets by Marine. Could be something like that.
Can we go through the season, the titles real quick?
Sure.
Go for it.
Episode 1, To Race the Shadows.
Okay.
Episode 2, A Question of Crimson. Episode 3, Seeds of Shadow.
That will have to do with Andor mostly.
Episode 4, The Road to the Spear.
Yep, that's the one.
Episode 5, Teleron Riyadh.
That's got to be Egwene's.
The wise stuff. One training with
the wise ones training with Egwene. Yeah.
Number six, Golden Eyes. Number seven.
That's going to be the beginning of the Battle of Two Rivers.
Yeah. Okay. And then He Who Comes with the Dawn.
Is that number seven?
Episode eight. We got you again.
Episode seven is He Who Comes with the Dawn.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that means in episode four, Rand goes through the columns, and in episode seven, he declares himself. Okay, that makes sense.
And then that means episode five is the Battle of Two Rivers? No.
No, episode six.
Ron Riyadh.
Episode six is Golden. Episode six is Golden Eyes. So episode six is the Battle of the Two Rivers. So episode seven is then Al-Qaeda or whatever they're going to use.
Yeah, whatever they're going to use for that.
And then episode eight doesn't have a title yet. Just
finale. What does that mean? I feel like they have to get...
it's a porno.
Episode eight is a straight porno after she bonds Perrin. It's Perrin butt fucking Maxim for 3 hours.
Oh no!
I thought you didn't watch it, bitch.
I did watch it. I told you. I did say I watched it, and I even you and I talked. Well, Justin.
Well, you just said that you
we should
that
talk you, about, you just we should said talk you about some of the text messages that we've had recently. Listen, we texted for a long time about this, and then you used some of it, and you didn't credit me when I was making fun of the Alana. And you're like,
you don't get credit if you don't come on, motherfucker.
That was super stupid when they were going Alana. Yeah, that.
Oh, I couldn't have had that idea on my own without you.
That's not possible.
I thought that before I.
So now, as far as the changes that they're making that we hate, what do you guys think? Do you think some changes are appropriate or even necessary based on the fact that we're going to see these actors become full-blown adults during the course of this show? Like, Rand is not going to be 21.
He's going to be like 45.
Yeah, if they keep going every 18 months to 2 years, he's going to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could change, but it's going to be hard to treat him, you know, as a child from the Two Rivers for too much longer.
Oh, you see him ending it. Did you see the clip between him and Moraine today?
Yeah.
He's like, you don't get to tell me what to do. He's like, what do I want to do? I'd love to go home to the Two Rivers. I realize I can't. So,
yeah. Fuck off. He was just like, I'm a man, lady. Don't.
I'm a man, damn it. Hey, Joss. What's up, brother? Hi, thank you.
I think the main thing you've got to do is condense the number of characters, obviously, right? You cannot have an audience care about a TV show with too many side characters who all have their own things going on. So a lot of characters have to carry double duty. Like Meryl being folded into Alana makes sense, you know? Verin taking the place of Vandine as Adelaide's sister. That makes sense in a way. You need to have a small set of recent light.
She didn't make sense.
No. I mean, she was a standholder, a placeholder for all the doctrines, right? But I think you've got to have a small set of Aes Sedai that people can really root for. You've got to have a small set of Aiel that's around Rand that people can root for. You've got to have a small set of, you know, various different folk. I do think that things like the kin and the sea folk can be substantially cut out of the story and not really affect too many things, because I'm not a big fan of the Bowl of the Winds plot in the first place. I think we can do away with the entire weather-related problem-solving, bowl-hunting plotline completely, and not lose the story, right? Like, the weather's turning because the Dark Ones touch on the world, etc. But you can resolve that without having to find this artifact and going to go on hunt for the Bowl of the Winds. You can rather focus on doing other things, like Egwene's rise in the sort of fake tower and the rise of the black tower and so on. A lot of the Ashaman will probably be condensed as well, because there's quite a few of them with a lot of different characteristics, and you need like three or four personalities, and then the rest can be in the background, right?
You need those and major, so on and so on. The major guys.
Exactly. So there's a few, I would say, key characters that you want the audience to root for or root against, and everyone else can just be condensed away and their plot lines can be simplified and so on. There's a few very important things that need to happen throughout the series as we go through, right? The establishment of the Black Tower, the establishment of the Rebel Tower, Egwene's rise and attempted manipulation by the other Aes Sedai to be pushed into what they want her to do and her independence. And then the box, obviously, Elida's rise and incompetence, like she really needs to be, and I think the characterization needs to be really well done, right? She needs to be shown to be doing the wrong things for fully what she believes is the right reasons, right? She cannot just be comically incompetent. She needs to be competently wrong
you know, do you think they have the right
and slightly the, yeah yeah
do you think they have the ability for what you've seen with the writing yeah. to do that, to convey that?
I have my skepticism that they can pull all of it off. And why I say that is because their default means of conveying information seems to be exposition. And I just think exposition on screen versus a character's hidden thoughts in a book comes across very differently. And I'm not sure that they're able to translate people's motivations and the thing that drives their actions doesn't come across on screen. When they're just talking to another person for the sake of the audience, it falls flat. I know you haven't watched season two, but it has the same challenges as season one, where two characters are talking to each other about their plan in order to clue the audience in. So there's a scene with Moraine and Swan in Kyrian, for example, where they're kind of just having to lay out what they need to do in order to, you know,
it's really
info dump on the audience. Though.
Yeah.
Like here, and it takes long. It takes 2 minutes of screen time. You know, shot, reverse shot, people raising their voice, lowering their voice, arguing. It's not very dynamic on the screen. And there's too much of that still. So, yeah.
It's what you've said in the past, show, don't tell, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Like,
exactly.
Have them executing a plan that goes wrong rather than talking about executing a plan and then, you know.
You can convey right. things.
You have a hard out at night, editor. Or in like 5 minutes, you have to go.
I can go for another 10 or 15.
Okay. Guys, I had a couple of questions that I really want your opinion on. So I didn't mean to cut you off. So please, Jeremy, do what you're, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, really good acting, editing, things like that. You can convey things with a look with just editing, you know, the way that they cuts. I always come back to
your cuts are proof of that, dude. Like your cuts are proof of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always come back to the scene in there's a show called Mayor of Easttown. I don't know if you guys ever saw it.
No one watches your shows, Grandpa.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a really well regarded show. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's very good. Kate
Winslet. Is your best friend good. Behind you to tell you to watch that?
Hilarious, sorry. Justin.
Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown. So there's a scene where she realizes that one of the guys that she's talking to is a bad guy, and she's trying to convey to her other cop buddy, who is armed and she's not armed, that this guy shouldn't leave because he's going to go get a gun. And she only does it by looking and like making subtle comments to the other guy, but then looking at the other guy. It's amazing acting. It's amazing storytelling, but it's not telling you the whole time. Like, she's just conveying with looks that she's suspicious of this guy, and she's trying to tell the other guy just by looks. Be suspicious of this guy. He's going to leave and he's going to go get a gun, and you need to pull your gun out and be ready. And it's very well done. This show can't pull that off.
Yeah. They you know what sucks though?
Desmond,
they have the actors to pull it off, but it's the directing and stuff. Like,
let me play devil's advocate.
I'd love to disagree with you, but
easier to do when you have one super main character.
That is also very
true. I think you can get in their head and focus on every time they move their eyes, like, oh, she's doing something.
Well, it's like Breaking Bad. You know what Heisenberg would do in certain situations, and you know what Walter White would do in certain situations. They might not be the same thing, but you have that nuance of that character to realize. You don't have the nuance.
I would agree with you, Desmond.
Get enough stream time.
I would agree with you, Desmond. Also, you have to focus on the main characters. And that's not what they've done.
They haven't brought him to the forefold as much as they should. I'm really hoping that they fix that this season. It seems like they're gonna. I hope that's true.
How can you fix it in the third season?
By just bringing the voice to the front of the story.
Name name another show that got fixed in the third season.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh. Hold on. I'm not gonna drop this mic. I'm just gonna put it on mute.
Yeah. I don't know, because I've had a long week and I'm tired. Give me some time, motherfucker. I'll come with some shit.
And I will say this, Jeremy. I will say this, Jeremy. Every show that got a third season had one person that truly believed in it. That show then got 8 to 10 seasons. Like, there's one producer.
Was the Donald?
There's one producer who got Seinfeld season 3, and thanks to that guy being like, "No, this is a good show. Trust me."
You know what? I can actually say that Seinfeld was one of those shows that the first couple of seasons, it was not good. It was not a ratings powerhouse.
Oh, did it good after that?
But it was always good. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It was always good. It didn't become, I mean, it might have gotten better, but it didn't go from not being good to being good.
Yeah. Here's a list of shows, Jeremy. here's a list of shows that people believe the third season is the best season.
B- boom, motherfucker. Game of Thrones, probably, will be one
Home
of them.
Home in the Middle. The third book I love that show.
what? What's that show? Who's the Boss? That was the best season, third season, 1000%. That was the one where Tony had sex with Boss Angela.
So I want to reiterate one thing.
Editor's like, hey, wait, give me a second. We need to stop talking about Seinfeld. I have some questions for this man, and he has to go. So I'm sorry.
I want to reiterate one thing because I want to get the edit. I know I've said this to Jeremy and Justin before, but I want to get the editor's official thing. Jeremy hopes this show dies as quickly as possible so he can get a good show in a couple years. I believe if this show dies, it will be poison to any producer for the next 15 to 20 years, and we will not get a single Wheel of Time product in 20 years if this fails.
We're getting 6 seasons minimum. Let's go.
6 seasons in a movie.
I'll take it in a different direction. If any one of Brandon Sanderson's series gets greenlit, then I don't think Wheel of Time gets a second go because it's just such a huge catalog of material that any new studio can adapt. And it's more current.
Is that something that might happen?
He's been chatting to studios for the past 3 or 4 years. And he's very transparent on his YouTube channel about the progress of it. One thing he says is that Hollywood is not used to an author like him who already has money and doesn't need to make the show. So he is refusing to...
Okay.
He's basically turning people down due to not having creative control in the final edit. So,
hey, fire Rafe and hire that motherfucker. I'd be all right with it.
See, I don't give... I forget we're all such... Robert Jordan fans that we forget that
Brandon I love the Sanderson. Way Brandon Sanderson finished the series. Some people really hate it. I really enjoyed it. Some stuff was a little bit hokey because it wasn't Robert Jordan, but I loved it. So,
well, writing styles aside, I'm just saying the guy who's still alive and can go to meetings is a big reason why this shit gets made.
Yeah,
1000%. Also, go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was just saying, also, Brandon Sanderson has said the reason that he won't adapt any of his books into TV shows is that right now the streaming can't do fantasy, and he cites two shows. One of them is Rings of Power, and he's like, they just don't understand. And the other one is one that he actually worked on, The Wheel of Time,
which really sucks because it is something that he has had a little bit of a hand in. And honestly, if they would have gave him some sort of creative control at the beginning, I think it would have been much, much better. Like I said, there's a lot of people who dislike some of the things he did, but I think that taking over someone's life's work and finishing it in a way where not every single person hates it and the majority like it there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. It was an impossible task that he actually completed, right? Like in the end.
And I remember reading those three books and go, first of all, the fact that he's like, I'm not going to finish this in one book. I'll do it three or I won't do it. And that's one of the things I remember about Brandon Sanderson. He was like, I'll do it in three or I won't do it. And they're like, okay. And I think I remember reading them and being just severely pleased with the pace, if nothing else, of the books, because it really captured the feeling of the first five to me. So,
yeah.
But, okay. All right. Show. Matt has his medallion in one of the posters.
Yes.
How does he get it? Jeremy, feel free to speculate because you don't need to know
it's
shit.
It's time for bed.
Fuck you, Alexa. I am not done yet, bitch.
That wasn't Alexa. That was me.
I hate you. God, no, it was your buddy behind you. Get in bed. It's time for bed. You need to get up early. Read Elon's briefs.
It's the best. It's the best sleep ever.
I'm just ignoring Jeremy because I can't even stand to look at that shit. You know, where does he get the medallion? And is it something that is like they threw on the poster because he gets it last second, or does he get it in a way where we get to see it in use this season in some sort of way?
He's gotta get it when he goes through the doorway, right? So
I'm gonna guess he's gonna get it in a way that's gonna disappoint everyone.
Won't disappoint everyone because not everybody's read the books.
We'll see.
Disappointed. I don't even know what you're talking about.
If you're disappointed, and you're disappointed, it's going to be real bad.
Fuck you. Fuck
it's real
you,
hard to point.
You're cool. I'm out.
It's really hard to point when everything's opposite, man. Oh, like, wow.
You're pointing at his ear that didn't get shot. It's great. but the man.
Justin means that, like, it's not the opposite ear that got shot. Justin means he never got shot. That's
it was a
means.
Pellet gun. It's like wrestling, bro. Do you think wrestling was real too? Okay, enough said.
I'm the one who used to explain to you that it wasn't real.
Andre the Giant's real.
Actually, wrestling is absolutely 100% real. And you guys should watch, like, some of that. Remember that wrestling documentary I was telling you about?
Dude, man, it's fucked up. It's really
dude,
messed
those
up.
Poor guys.
It's real in a sense that those guys destroy their body.
Editor, yep. Did you grow up with any wrestling?
I used to watch WWE when it was still WWF back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. How old are you, man, if you don't want me asking?
Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior was the...
Okay, bro, you're like our age.
You've seen Ultimate Warrior in person, dude. Jeremy and I.
How old are you,
Editor? I was always a Hulk Hogan fan. I'm 43.
43. Okay,
so you're a little bit younger than us, but yeah, same age, basically. Yeah, we used to go to Arca Arena and see some of the things. I've seen Jake the Snake, Ultimate Warrior. It's nice. Wild, bro. It's fucking crazy to see it in person. It's insane.
Dark Side of the Ring. Watch that stuff and just be like, these poor guys sacrificed their entire lives just to entertain you and to make a little bit of money. Oh, man.
It's like the movie The Wrestler, except it's all true stories.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And
that's
somehow exactly worse, right. Actually.
Yeah, sadder. You know, it's really crazy. You'll see Jake the Snake Roberts talking on almost every single one of these people about, I knew them. And then they either killed themselves or died of a heart attack or died of an overdose, or it's just like it's.
You know what? He was one of the few dudes that wasn't just all roided up. You know, he still had some love handles and he had a snake. He was more of an entertainer than the wrestler, so probably why he's still alive.
Yeah, I don't know how we got onto that, but man, that's an entertaining show. That's
do you remember how mad we were when Macho Man smashed Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's
fucking oh my gosh! You guys got to remember,
like, punch the TV, mad. We were like going to fight each other.
Dustin and I were big fans of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. We were like, he's an entertainer. He was an intercontinental champion, but we were like, he's got to be the heavyweight champion one day. We want him to be the world champion. And because he was like a high flyer, like him and Jimmy Superfly Snooker, they would jump off the ropes and stuff. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But then, yes, when they went heel and backstabbed Ricky the Dragon.
It's always Steamboat. Weird when they, that's the worst part, I think, of like wrestling is when they, you can tell that they went and wrote the script to turn a guy heel, you know?
Yeah.
And they do it with the lovable characters. That's the worst part. I'm like, why? I was rooting for you. And then
I know. Then they like turn cloak around. You're like, no.
Exactly. Anyway, now we get back to the show.
Now that we've talked about all that dumb bullshit, do you have an answer for my question? What is your theory? Do you any kind of theories or just
who are you asking?
Did it come out of the 12th depository and Varen gives it to him or like, you know, anything?
I think he gets it inside the doorway. So he goes through. He does his thing with the snakes and foxes.
Okay. You think we'll see that?
They give him the medallion and a few other things, I hope, to see.
Okay.
And then it goes from there.
So I'm thinking that, Jeremy, you probably haven't seen this. There's a little... Oh, yeah, you saw it. When they go to the 12th depository and then...
The little
person does the thing. You could see Varen either deflects or does something to the weave to where she's not as affected as her sister, because Vandy doesn't remember her. And we know what Varen's stuff is, not to be too spoilery. How do I frame this? So I think Matt's luck, and this is going to piss me off. I hope I'm wrong. I think Matt's luck is going to come from that fucking dice Tarangriel, because that is one that twists chance. I think he's going to get his hands on it, and that's going to be his luck, which I hate. But that's my prediction. It's something that I'm going to fucking be... I just want to see his luck, but I don't want it to be something he's like, well, I got this lucky fucking thing, bro. And like, if he loses it, and then that's going to be like a plot point.
They've done a poor job of explaining what the Taviran is and how it twists the pattern and so on.
Right.
Because that's where his luck comes from, right? And
that's like, that's why I would hate it, because it's like a cop out, right? Like, his luck is a cop out instead of just.
Yeah, because if you haven't established what the Taviran is and you haven't established that he is. I mean, they're pretty well established that he's currently very unlucky because they keep showing him losing at dice. So it makes sense that he's going to have the
turn.
They
show him as unlucky a lot, even back in season one, like one of the first
things. The only thing is...
That's true.
You know, what's the genesis for his luck changing, right? And I'm with you. If it's
exactly. Why does it change?
Yeah, if it's a Tarangriel,
it's either the Tarangriel or the doorway. What else could it be?
Exactly.
So, man, exactly. You know what? You really made me
think. If it's the doorway, it's maybe not so bad, because you could say that maybe they enhanced the randomness and something. Because remember, in his case, he goes through the first doorway to ask three questions, and he goes through the second doorway to make three wishes. So...
Yeah, but that's the one that really fucks him. So that's the secondary that really fucking ruins his.
Yeah,
gives him a bad time.
Whether they condense that down to a single visit or still do two separate visits doesn't matter. But I think if there is a sort of wish that where he wants a way out of his bad luck, or he wants whatever, then let's see. Maybe it comes from that. And that would be better than actually having a Tarangriel around him at all.
Yeah. Times. Well, I hope it's not that, because that would be kind of lame, because that's something that could be taken away from him. His luck, you know, a lot of times the drama in the books is my luck going to work this time the way I need it to?
Yeah.
And so I don't want that to translate to I lost my fucking Tarangriel, because that'll be fucking lame.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
That's just my thing. I'm hoping, you know, I really had no hopes or wishes about them getting to anything snakes and foxes. But once I saw the fox head, I can't think of another way that he'll get it unless Varen's like, well, I found this here, which will also be fucking lame. Or Moraine, you know, maybe Moraine finds it in Riudan, and then I don't know. But I feel like to show it on the poster, it's going to have to be at least in one scene where it matters, even if
you're showing it on the poster. You're telling the audience
it's
to
not a matter, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And even if it's a, like one of his Matt's last scenes of the season to a cliffhanger, it's got to matter. Even if it's him just picking it up or them giving it to him going, oh shit. And him knowing it, what it is. Yeah. I feel like that's, I mean, it's the only way that it can happen. Right? How many, we've done this for 3 seasons. Now,
how many times?
You haven't heard me say that with any confidence. I hope you see that. So, what about Loial looking older a little bit? Is it the longing? Is they just changed his look a little bit? What do you think?
Practically, I think it's just
production. He just looks older, you know?
Practically, I think it's just costuming and production design. Like as the seasons go on and they have more budget and they're trying out different looks, whether they can explain it or not. They didn't explain how he looked different in season 2. So it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's true. Because he was kind of comical in season 1. And they made him, hopefully they're just kind of evolving his look to be.
So actually, we just finished.
Better.
I mean, we just finished rewatching the season 1 fan edit yesterday. And we're going to watch season 2 at some point in the coming week. He's very funny. He's unintentionally very funny in season 1. There's a lot of times where he's just continuing to talk in the background and the characters just ignoring
him. Yeah, no, everyone's just ignoring him. Yeah. It's great. One of my favorite things, season 2, when he's like, oh, when he starts to like kneel to
Elaine. Yeah.
And then he's just like, all right, dude.
They could have added a bit more of that where he's just continuing to ramble.
I hope they do, because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Dude, did you watch the video editor? I know, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm just talking to you right now. Desmond, I know you saw it too, but you don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
One of the theories was that it's like a rod, or it's kind of like a scepter with the little like almost like, you know, like the choir boys do with the incense and the sachet. Mm-hmm. It's the Sakarnan is what some people have said that Demandred finds.
Or anything of that clip. So don't tell me more.
Oh, really? It was, I think it was Lauren, actually. I think it was Lauren. Okay. Might've been John. It was one of them too. But they pointed it out, and it's not, I wouldn't call it a scepter. It's kind of a thing that's like this long, but it's got the little kind of like incense, you know how it's described with like the goblet or whatever. It's described kind of weird, but you know what that's I'm talking about. Jeremy, it's not the goblet of fire.
God. Pretty sure it's the goblet of fire.
Son of a bitch.
I knew you said it on the first try, Jeremy.
He's just, why aren't you the showrunner? It would be so good.
I could have fixed everything.
I know, right? I know.
It would be terrible because we'd be like, I already read this.
There's no podcast.
Give me something.
Like, oh, perfect. Jeremy's the best. He fucking loves Donald.
All I know is.
It's about the destination. It's about the journey. I mean, you can still watch Lord of the Rings and get out of it.
Yeah, Jeremy is one of those people who disowned Lost after the finale.
Listen, that is not
don't get it started. We can't go there. We don't have enough time right now about Lost. Just on the Lost.
We're here.
Fuck it.
Hey,
we can't.
Listen, I started not liking Lost like after season 5. I was like, where are they going with this? They are not answering a lot of questions. And then when we got to the end, I was like, they forgot
not
all
liking Lost ever, bro.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready to just feed the books into the like AI generation and then just watch whatever it makes.
Write like, me a script. You know,
let's
you're
do
like,
it.
That'll be better.
Oh, it God. Would.
I'm trying to see. I know the editor's probably getting to the end of his
actually,
rope.
Actually, I want you to
Matt's
do that
gonna
now,
get
Jeremy.
It. Matt's gonna
you're
get
not gonna come on the show, Jeremy. That's how you have to spend your Thursday nights.
Deal.
2 hours homework. I want it documented. Pictures of it didn't happen. Do you think that the deposition of Suwan will happen really quickly after that fight, or do you think that's something that they might leave on the back burner, or even as like a cliffhanger, you know, at the end of the season, or?
Could be an episode 18. I think they would do it in two parts. The first episode is where the Black Ajah breaks away from the tower.
Yeah.
And then the political ramifications of that might come back around towards the end of the season. And maybe her deposition is the last thing that happens.
I think my only last question for you, I'm and this, I guess, kind of a prediction. I think that Rand's Bubble of Evil will be the only one that we get. The other one that, if we,
I always felt that Bubbles of Evil were really random and plot convenient at a point in time, even in the books. I'm like,
yeah, I thought they were awesome at the time, but they really don't have any until the very last. Brandon Sanderson brings it back in like the last couple of books. Couple of them, you know.
Also, just the analogy also doesn't work for me. Why would you have bubbles in a weaving pattern?
There's no bubbles. This isn't soda. Like, it's not beer.
It doesn't. The imagery, the analogy doesn't work for me.
It's underwater.
It would be a snag. Like, you would almost say like a snag in the pattern or
or a twisting in the pattern or
a misstitch.
A loose thread.
Like misstitch, actually. Exactly.
Loose stitch. That's good, actually. That's good. Frayed end.
I'm afraid not.
But I think that we're only going to see. Shut up.
Nice.
Jeremy's such a dad. God. I just feel like the only other one that I thought, like, if we see more than one, maybe we get Matt. Because there is one scene where you see, I think it's Bane and Shad with, like, spears at Matt's throat. And you see a little nick in one of the pictures of him with, like, a little nick on his throat. So I'm thinking he maybe was playing, like, Maiden's Kiss. Maybe he's playing Maiden's Kiss in a tavern. Then the cards come up or some sort of bubble of evil there. If we see more than one, maybe that'll be part of it.
Maybe.
If I don't hear three cocks crow, it's a waste of my time.
I bet you don't.
I really hope that you get at least one, but
I didn't hear it, but I had my closed captions turned on. And during season two, at one point, Rand is staring off into the distance and the closed captions say, a cock.
What? Yeah. Wait, what? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh my God. All right. Somebody died. Did someone die right after?
It was right before him and Fael had hate. Or is it Fael? Yeah, it was right before he and... No, not Fael. Lanfear had hate sex.
Which time?
They only had hate sex once. Oh, you know why? No, it's someone's about to die. It was Lanfear. She died. She got stabbed by Moraine, and then she went and brought herself back, which isn't possible. Jeremy, you want to take that one? Never mind. a couple last things. We see the girls in, like, I don't think... Jeremy, you might not have seen this. You see, like, Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine, and they're clearly full sisters. Egwene is it looks like she's the Emerency, and they're kind of riding up on horses. I think that, obviously, that's going to probably be Egwene's acceptance test. But, well, are they escorting Rand to the last battle, or are they going to, like, gentle him, or
I think they're gentling him. I think he's gone insane, and she needs to make the choice to gentle him to save his life or something.
Yeah, and we've seen the picture of Rand looking super crazy in the river with long hair, like looking super insane in the red coat. I think that's it, bro. And the only other two things, editor, did you notice Moggy's black fingers when it seems like she's compulsing Nynaeve? Excited about that. And then the other thing I was going to make as a prediction was that Pod and Fane would skip the Eamon's Field arc and go straight to when he's with the Sean Chan later and gives Rand his second unhealable wound. But obviously it looks like he's going to be in the Two Rivers with Dane. So
yeah, look, I don't know, because Rand has already been stabbed with that dagger. So I don't know if it's the second wound with the
same dagger. So maybe it's just like you said, just one.
Yeah. And I think they'll keep him at Two Rivers because he has some history with Perrin. So could be the right antagonist for that.
Yeah, I almost didn't recognize him.
I don't think they're going to do the whole Slayer thing. Or at least...
I was going to ask you that. It was very complex, Slayer, right?
It was very complex in the books as well. This merging of two souls. And it's a bit... It didn't 100% work for me in the books either. But
it works
better in the books. Right. I just think... Translating it to the screen will be super complicated and having to explain the audience what the hell this antagonist is.
I agree.
They might have just parts of it without the whole lore of everything, including him in the dream world, him in the real world. Because what really confused me in one of the later books, I always thought that, and the way Rob Jordan wrote it was, you always assume that, I've got 5 minutes, that you assume that Slayer was in the dream world and Lord Luke was in the real world. But then in much later books, you actually saw Slayer in the real world. And then it was...
Wait, what?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that confused me.
When's Brandon Sanderson start writing it?
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is it really? But he is in the real world? I thought it was always in the Wolf Dream.
No. He can step out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he steps out of it, he's Luke. And when he steps back into it...
No. And this is the confusing part. Well, because if they kept the consistency, that would make a bit more sense. But then when they broke it, I was like, okay, so...
Oh, that's right, because you see him in like in that whatever that town is outside Shale Ghul in the last second to last book.
Yeah.
When he's by the forges, the shadow.
And that whole vibe is weird, right? You got Luke, you've got Isam, you've got Slayer. I just think they're gonna
And it's never really explained why. Like why?
They explain why, and ultimately, consequential. Like, what consequence does it have to the story besides being an antagonist for Perrin?
We'll probably get a character like that can go so that Perrin can go fight in the Wolf Dream, but they probore won't expand
go through that whole lore thing. Yeah.
It's too confusing because, like you said, even in 500 pages of print that it's probably dedicated to Slayer, you don't really get to see.
Yeah.
Like you said, what's the rules? That's one of the biggest problems with Robert Jordan's writing is there are no fucking rules. And one of the things that Brandon Sanderson, I think, I haven't read a lot of his stuff, but I heard his magic rules are pretty consistent.
Have you heard his because he lectures as well on writing, right? Have you heard his lecture about gardeners versus architects?
Some
authors are gardeners, so they plant seeds and then they figure out where the story is going to go. And other authors are architects, where they plan the whole thing. And they plan the consistency and so on, and then they build. So Jordan is a gardener. Anderson's an architect. So they're very different writing.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
Stephen King is a fucking gardener. Jesus, daddy fucking Christ.
Stephen King is a psychopath.
I have one theory. Theory, which is not even it's just an observation. I think is going to, if they do the scene where Fael is choosing her Hunter for the Horn names, I think they will just use the opportunity to name drop Birgitta as an option. I don't think they're going to do the Mandob thing. I think
That was pretty dumb. Yeah. Because we don't really hear about his. That's pretty funny, actually. That'd be good.
I think it's a good opportunity to just continue to name drop her because I'm pretty sure she's going to be next season.
You know what? We could get some Lord Luke though as just like the person that, because she starts talking about like she knows of Lord Luke in the books and knows like who he is and stuff. So. But like you said, trying to get to that, and like I could see them maybe trying to introduce that because it's also part of that like Andoran family line with Tigraine and all that shit. But I think that's also adding.
He needs to be Rand's uncle. He needs to be starts to become.
You forget that Moraine is Elaine's aunt, right?
Yeah. She's not Elaine's. Yeah, she is.
She's not.
She's not.
By marriage? By marriage? No.
She's a Demogorgon. Oh my god. Let's go
because
she's Elaine's aunt. Yeah.
Because Tigraine married
Terengale.
Terengale. And that makes them that would make her her aunt, right?
Yep.
Wait, which would make Moraine. Moraine
Durand too? No.
Is Moraine related to Rand too?
Because, no, because Rand's parents are Janduin and Tigraine.
Okay.
Janduin and
No blood. But he is related to Galad.
Yes.
They're half brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
They're half brothers. Okay.
Oh, well, that makes it okay.
You know why? Because fuck Gawain. Oh, sorry, John.
So now, do we think we see everybody that Ishamel let loose at the end of season two? Or is that too many bad guys to just.
Too many.
I think they'll
kill people off before they introduce too many. And there'll be
that was my thought. We'll have a big bad, someone they can kill.
The other thing is, you can't cast big actors for just an appearance in like the last episode and then hold them for a whole season.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, Ishmael's on the poster. So is he going to come back even if in a little bit? And if it's not a flashback, then how does he come back? And is he more? I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to make him Morden because that's another.
No, I think they need a new actor if they're going to bring in Morden.
Right?
I would bring in Billy Zane.
Yeah, that'd be the shit. Hey, I would That'd get Jeremy back.
That
would be like, Billy Zane cast as fucking Morden. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, yeah,
the comeback and of the century.
Cast Sharon Michelle Gellar as Sindane.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're kids.
Jeremy, that'd work, right? Short, blonde, voluptuous.
Can Billy Zane be the reincarnated corpse of Perrin's dead wife?
Now I'm back in.
Bro, he's about maybe ruin my computer with bong water, dog.
Yeah. So I only bring this up. I
need to jump off.
All right. Editor, thank you so much. You have an open invite all season long. Wednesdays at 8:00 will be
here. You have an open invite for as long as legal work. It's a shit podcast.
Absolutely. Let's keep in touch. I'll be happy to join. As
much luck with next season too, by the way.
Thank you. I'm actually looking forward to it.
If you want to be our fucking third wheel, fuck this guy. You're way more
season three is going to be so good. It won't need a fan edit.
Let's all hope so. Let's all hope so.
Jeremy last. Jeremy last last.
Jeremy's like, it's going to be a 45-minute episode with commercials.
Yes, yes. Appreciate it. Ciao. Right.
Later on, brother.
Take care. Have a
Thank
great
you so
day.
Much, man. We appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Enjoy the show tomorrow. Cheers.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy. It's going to be 2 days. Jeremy's not going to watch it.
So, Jeremy. I actually, both of you, I didn't have the balls to even hope for this, but I heard, I had it just going constantly in the background. I just had videos playing and I paid attention to it sometimes and it just wasn't earworm other times. I heard someone say we might get a flicker. Justin?
They think it might be the Ryudan stuff with Moraine. Like when you're seeing, when we watch the trailer and all of the shots of Moraine and Lanfear, like basically Lanfear killing Moraine like 10 times. That's one of them. And then you see Moraine, like, you know, Rand, she's holding Rand as she's dying. You see Egwene rocking around Rand as like the Amulet, or maybe it might be Moraine actually. So I think you're seeing the flicker version and all these things in the rings that could be Moraine's future. We're not going to get it like we did in the books, but I think we will get a sort of version of it through the rings. Not with Rand, more with Moraine, I think. And maybe Evienda, but yeah, I think more with Moraine.
So this one's definitely directed at Jeremy because I know how to get him back. Who's fucking this season? Who's fucking who?
I think
Ishmael let Mogany go for more than just one.
That's a safe bet, Jeremy. We're gonna have some just one of them. Because one of them's gonna die, the other one's gonna have a lot of sad sex.
Oh my god. I don't know.
I call it Kalendor. I dub thee Kalendor.
I think Rand and Elaine probably. Maybe Lan and, or stop saying Lan. Rand and Evienda, maybe both. Maybe all three.
I don't know.
Maybe Evienda and Elaine.
This doesn't have anything to do with the book, so don't tell me it won't happen.
Fingers crossed.
Based on the show, Min and Matt.
Based on the show, yeah. It's a good chance.
Based on the show, that's not a bad guess, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to attach Min to Rand like they did in the book, Jeremy? It doesn't seem that way from what I've seen.
I don't know.
That's a fair question because you've seen everything that I've seen. So, dude, and one of the things, hey, you're going to love this. Here's a spoiler.
Time to toss the dice.
It's time to toss my rocks off.
No matter what you say, there's a 92% chance that you're going to be wrong. So,
yeah, but God damn it. I was going to ask you a question. It was going to be great. And now I forgot it because I'm fucking stone drunk.
Sorry. All right, Jeremy, here's what's going to get you to watch the fan edit of season two. No Moraine's sister.
No. Okay.
No Min.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was going to tell you the fan edit season two. Literally, Min has been cut out. She does not exist in season two.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, I liked her interactions with Matt, but I listened to you guys talk
unnecessary.
About it. Not necessary. Yeah. It's just kind of like, but then
and they cut out all Matt and the Tower of Leandrin and stuff too. So,
but then like now Matt is like literally, he's in it for 7 minutes for the entire season, probably.
And he doesn't show up until.
And I was going to say, and those minutes, you're going to hate those minutes because he's going to take that dagger and he's going to wrap it around a stupid pole and turn it into a lightsaber.
I wish.
Exactly.
In all of my heart, I wish I could go into my most stupid, retarded, drunken state and be like, here's a fucking defense for that. I don't have one.
Got nothing.
I hate it just as much, if not more, after watching it again. I'm like, why? Why?
Here's my thinking.
Even in the show that explains that.
Yeah. Here's my thinking. So I know you said that if they cancel this show, that this show is going to be poisoned. No one's going to touch it for years. It's quite possible that that's true. But then you have examples of shows that or movies that failed and are being resurrected. Dune, 1984, failed, right? 2000.
So you're proving my point.
No.
30 years.
30 years. That's what he's saying. It's going to be poisoned. Hold on. For like a quarter
that's
century,
not,
right?
You're both wrong. You're both wrong. There was a miniseries that came out in the early 2000s, like 2000, that was on. That was like a 6-part miniseries, right? And then now they're doing movies that were really high budget movies because they proved that there's still an audience if you do it well and you do it right. My second is The Dark Tower, which they made a movie, had big star, Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey. It totally tanked. It was terrible. It didn't follow the plot or anything like that. It's getting a TV show reboot. right now. And that's only been seven years. It's only been 7 years.
Oh, you're right.
That was after the first span of like 10, right? No?
No.
Dark Tower movie was 2017.
So it's been 8 years.
I thought it was like 2010
If you could, Justin, right now, like you probably wouldn't, but I would, if someone told you this show ends right now, in 10 years, you will get the show you want. I'd be like, put it down.
After the season? Okay.
Well, but I already totally we're fucked because you two don't want the same show. So one of you still going to be sad in 10 years.
If they did a more
true to the books
style, a Last of Us style adaptation to where even the changes they made just made you fucking come all over yourself. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Jeremy's.
While I don't hate this as much as you, and it's way. You just look
yes, and not only that, but. See, that's how you do it, Justin.
That's my guy. That's my guy. Did you hear, actually, on one of the first episodes that the editor asked, he goes, that's not Nelson Mandela behind you?
I don't remember that.
I was like, when you're not here, I hope he comes on more because he's like, he feels the kind of same role as the perfect straight man. It's just like, wait, what? Han Solo? It's not Nelson Mandela? What?
Well, otherwise, it's just Jeff and I jerking each other off. So
yeah,
no one needs to hear that.
Speaking of jerking you off, how did your hash rosin cart go instead of the
wow. So Jeremy, big sidetrack, but still crazy. So I got high yesterday. I smoked weed for the first time.
How was that for you, dude? I want to know so bad.
5 years yesterday. It was a therapy session with my therapist.
Okay.
It was a 3-hour therapy session. Dude,
so did you smoke and then just sit and talk to
your therapist, Dr. Vinny Blue Butts?
No, so we did.
Don't you dare, Jeremy. This is real.
We did a miniature therapy session just so I could get all the shit off my chest. And then we went through, and then I put an eye mask on. I put a blackout mask on. And he had me walk him through a stressful scenario in my life. He's just like, describe something that really sucked for you. And then, so that way he could just kind of get a baseline of where, and I'm just like,
every Thursday.
I watch the show and I dread it every second.
I had to talk to this guy that I call my best friend. He's a psychopath. It's the worst day of my week.
I try to say stuff. And he just talks over me.
No, but.
Sorry, Desmond.
It's funny you guys mentioned that because it couldn't be something interpersonal. Because anything, if I'm like, oh, I hate it when my
son to be more does vague. This.
Or just something that doesn't spread out into all areas of your life. So I was recalling a car accident I was in 5 years ago or something, something that didn't have other aspects. And so then he's like, where does it feel weird? Where does it hurt? Where are you getting sensations? And I'm like, here, and here. He's like, okay, cool. And then I went to the bathroom, of course, like I always do. And then I took two big old puffs and put my eye mask on. And dude, so for the last 2 months, I've been wondering if I should do this because what I really want to do is take two tabs of acid and just melt my brain. I took two puffs of weed and it was fucking
like taking two hits of acid.
I was so in the best way. And so, yeah, so then we had this meditative therapy session for 2 hours while I just stoned out of my mind, like my just got in touch with my body. And like I told Kelly, it was like being Dr. Strange. It was just like I took two puffs and wham, I was just out of my head. And instantly I was like, I dropped down into my body for the first time in like 2 years. It was just like, wow, I've just been up here driving myself. I have not been feeling anything I've done. What's that?
It was very positive then.
It was extremely positive. Yeah.
That's so good to hear, dude. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So it was cool. And I told you. Yeah.
I mean, that's not just getting stoned. That's a different thing. It says you're doing some fucking work.
And I can't, good for you for doing the work, man.
Because I
fucking believe how many years of my life I smoked weed and went to work. I was so fucking high.
Because it was the only way you could deal with that kind of shit.
If I had taken my eye mask off and tried to look at Troy in the face and have a conversation with him, I would have just been like, yeah, why are you melting?
I talked to people all day.
I know.
Crazy. Jeremy, check this out. On a lighter note, that Desmond, truly, brother, I'm so happy for you. Not thank about you. The weed, just the fact that it was like a good thing, and it wasn't like
you feel better
when you're like had a fucking panic attack or something. Because like the whole reason for anything like that is to feel better afterwards. So I'm stoked. I'm I'm dealing with that myself, not me personally, but I'm trying to get her to do some stuff like that, and I hope she will, because that just gives me a lot of fucking hope.
Yeah, definitely. It's for real.
That's dope, dude. And I love it that you got stoned. Whatever the reason. My brother, I missed you.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Des, if you like took a 4-footer, like I know you'd be like, where am I?
No.
He'd be like, I'm Rafe Judkins. Jeremy, you missed my sign on. I was like, I'll be your, he's never going to do it again, Sadai. He really loves me. Hey, and check this out, brother.
Oh, dude, how did you get those? Those were like expensive. They were like hundreds of dollars.
Dude, they're like $20.
Oh, they must have reprinted them. Because I think
they did reprint them.
Yeah, they. So I went to look for those probably 5 years ago. And I think they were like $200 a piece.
Yeah, you could
find them. Short
they were
buy?
They were out of print. To begin with.
No. Yeah, exactly. What he's saying. They didn't print that many to begin with. It had been probably 10 years since they had printed them. So they were just like, if they're out there and you can get them, you can get them. But they were going to be expensive.
Wow. Yeah, now they're like, I mean, the ones these were like $20 a piece. But I did see that they definitely reprinted. Because the ones that were really hard to find was the second one. Like the second, the Great Hunt season ones, whatever. So I haven't really looked at them. I just got them 2 days ago. But I'm excited to check them out.
On a lighter note, let's talk about something good. Des, have you watched Severance?
No, but I've been hearing.
I'm hearing a lot about that show right now.
Like, that's another show. That season one, everyone's like, yeah, there's a show called Severance. Whatever, it's fine. Season two, it's like, yeah, there's still. Now, all of a sudden, it's all I'm hearing about is, dude, stop you jerking will, off and watch Severance.
Because Apple knows how to promote stuff.
You will love Severance. It gives me so many Lost vibes. Oh. In the like very, very Lost vibes. But I was starting to get to the point because I'm in 6th, 7th episode, I think, of season 2. And I was getting to the point where like, oh, they're going to really make it be more like Lost because they're not answering anything. They're just adding more and more questions. And there was this last episode that I just watched and it was like, okay, we're going to answer some questions here big time and we're going to advance the plot. And very well acted, very beautifully shot. You will love this show, Desmond. If you don't, I want to talk to you for an hour to tell me why you don't love this show. Because this is your show. I don't know why you haven't watched it.
I'll watch it. Well, you know why I have it? Because from September to February, we have to get rid of a lot of streaming platforms so I can afford live TV. so I can watch football.
Football.
Gotcha. So we just cut our live TV feed. So now we have money for Paramount and Apple again. And so we're finishing. Like I said, I've been hearing good things about Severance. So it's gotten there up on my list. We just got Paramount with Showtime. So we're starting the new Dexter, which we love. And then on Apple also is we love Silo. So we're finishing up Silo.
Don't get me started. I've read all the Silo books. They literally... So it is the opposite of Wheel of Time. They have taken these short books and expanded them with all this extraneous stuff but they kept a lot of the main story.
Yeah.
But they just like shoved like you got a BLT and they're like, well, you know what make BLT even better? Bologna. You know what it's even better? Bologna? Macaroni and cheese. You like macaroni and cheese? Throw some mashed potatoes on top of this. Like, it's not a sandwich anymore, man. You're just making, like,
this is home buffet running. On a bad day.
Yeah. Stop putting stuff in there.
Oh my God.
But it's not bad.
In the book, is it just like, because, like, I definitely feel like the last three episodes, like I said, we're about ready to finish season 2. I feel like episodes 5, 6, and 7 were like 2 chapters of the book. And it's like, there's no way. We need to be spending all like I get character building and getting inside people's heads, but like let's go.
The first 2 seasons is probably 3/4 of the first book.
That makes perfect sense.
And yeah, with a lot of stuff cut out.
Yeah,
with a bit of stuff cut out.
Yeah,
but yeah, another show since you got Paramount Plus, Landman.
Oh yeah, Yeah.
And if honestly, if you guys
I haven't watched it.
That one hits a little bit home because
that's a no duh.
Well, be honest. So if you want to actually talk about a show that I'm an expert in.
Yeah.
I'm legit like I have an expert. I'm 30 years in natural gas, 5 years in the oil field. I didn't work in Texas, but I worked in the oil fields.
Yep.
I can talk to you about that show. Oh, so
you would want to be what does he say? You wouldn't want to I wouldn't want to be you this week. You wouldn't want to be me.
You won't want to be
Yeah, we finally finished Yellowstone, so like now Landman is
you'll like Landman. It's a typical Taylor Sheridan show. You're like, are all these cattle rustlers really shooting people and getting killed all the time? Like, no, that can't be.
Fucked up the end of Yellowstone. I mean, besides the fact that their main character left the show, like you're already kind of fucked. That show was building up to be like the fucking finale of Godfather, and it ended like a Days of Our Lives episode. Like
I didn't even watch the end. I couldn't watch it. It was so too crazy.
The second to last season was like it ended in a blaze of glory, and so you're like, well, obviously this show is going to end in a gunfight. Nah, just ends with the signing of some papers, and it's like, I guess
the way all great movies should.
It's like
that's how most things end in life.
That's fine, but that's not what you were building to. Like you were like, ooh, here we go.
I don't think I'm spoiling anything if I tell you in the first four episodes of Landman, probably 10 people died or get killed. And I'm like, listen, one person dies, they're shutting this job down. They're going to come out. OSHA's going to come out there. They're going to be like,
they're going to drug test everybody.
Yes, they're going to drug test everybody. DOT
job for sure.
Yes. They're going to shut it down. They're going to go over like everything's going to change. You know what drives me crazy?
For a little background, our family's company made a lot of money off Enron. In the 90s. that's we didn't do anything wrong. We got paid for honest work.
That's right.
You know, let me just preface all that. We got paid for honest just construction work, paid well. You know, there was no shareholder action or anything like that.
We were not part of any of the shenanigans.
but I will say this, our families got pretty wealthy up and on.
Yeah, we made some good money back in late 90s.
I can't lie. Oh, dude, that fucking Ryer Island pipeline that was like 12 miles? Yeah, we made a lot of money on those guys.
Those French camp wells, man. Those French camp wells, like, they were making probably, there was a couple of them making $3 million a day.
Ryer Island wells? There was five of them, and one was making 1.5, the other were making like 2.4, and the other one was making like 4 for a long time. And there was
those were high BTU, right?
And that was that pipeline. That's why they ran that like 9 mile pipeline or whatever, dude.
Yeah.
You didn't work on that though. That was me and like Bart, and that was when I watched Mark and Bart get in a fist fight.
You know, I work with Mark almost every day, right?
Right now?
Yeah, he works for my company.
Shut the fuck up. I always really liked Mark. I thought
Mark's a great guy.
He was funny because he was a really good dude, and he had the same kind of temperament as Bart, but he was like fucking like, he was like, I'm not gonna fucking be like that asshole. But then when they'd get into it, woo, Bart wasn't the tough brother, I'll tell you that.
I almost saw Mark and your brother almost got into a fist fight one day. We were working. Yeah. They were like, get it, go at it.
Probably because my brother was drunk.
I was like, I was like, am I gonna watch this or am I gonna break it up?
I was on the backhoe when Mark and Bart got into it. I was just like, I don't know what I'm
gonna do. All
right. I fucking Bart was getting smart with me. Fucking, I was like, you know what, like 15 or 16 at the time. So I was fat and kind of the size I am now. Bart was fucking around me and I fucking dipped him over the pipeline. And I'll never forget. He was so mad. Like he wanted to fight me. You could tell. Like his bar drunken fucking redneck came out and he wanted to fight me, but I was the boss's kid. So he was just like,
and a kid.
So mad because I knocked him down because I like literally like dipped him and knocked him over like the fucking pipeline and he fell down and he was super embarrassed. And I was like, I helped him up. I was like, we're fucking around. It wasn't like serious, but he was like, he was so mad.
All right, we're gonna wrap this show up. Join us next time when Jeremy and I talk about
Jeremy won't be here.
The Well, he will be for our new
one
show.
One of us will be here, and it's not going to be me or Desmond.
One day when this show ends, we'll go back to Movies R Us, and Jeremy will come back. It'll be fine.
No, we're going to watch Land Man.
Jeremy and I are going to start our own show called
Fuck Justin.
The book was better. Yeah. That'd be great.
There you go.
Books and then in oh, and then in, wrong, 20, on that shit. In 2040, we'll start our new Wheel of Time podcast when someone picks the show up and gives it another chance.
I will have had a stroke and be like, I love Ryan and Matt's art so much, please.
It's so good.
I'll be 400 pounds and Justin will be on his second liver.
Yeah. You know what? I told you that in confidence.
Jeremy, please just promise me you will troll our show.
Oh, I'm going to listen every week. Dude,
if you have the time to even stop in for 20 minutes.
You know what?
20 minutes. Jeremy does it. I don't care if you don't watch it. It's so much more fun with you here, bro. I miss you. You're the only family member that I give a shit about, really.
Justin, our job is to make this show as good as possible. Not that Jeremy couldn't do that, but
we can't write it.
Possible. No. The Thank the Light show.
So right. I say we can't take Rafe Judkins' job. So.
Then we can it'll reinvest me in getting the other shows going. Like I've had to put all of my eggs in this basket and
totally. And when this is done,
we'll get Jeremy in on the other show.
I hope when this is done, I don't care if it's in 5 years. I hope we start doing Movies R Us because we'll have more fodder and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
I love the dynamic that I mean that's me, man.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to get Time Pop back too. And so if we get all four of us doing both shows and most
I'm happy to jump in on Time Pop too sometimes. You know I love movies.
Well, because Scott can't record all the time. So if I'm gonna make
And I like Scott show, and I'm pretty open tonight. So.
But if I'm gonna make that show work, we need to do it weekly and Scott can't do it weekly. So between the four of us, we'll figure out
how to get on weekly with one of us.
And then we're going to get popular and then Jeremy and I can start our Lost Rewatch.
That's, okay.
You know what?
I've
never watched it.
Yeah. Watching him watch it for the first time.
It could be like, Des, you and I could switch places for this. Like, because the only thing I know about Lost is Zoe trying to tell me about it and me going like, and almost killing us all at the wheel because I was so bored with Zoe's descriptions.
Desmond, we need to start the Landman podcast. All right. That's what we need to do. That's actually a popular show that people like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. It's not wrong. You figure out, Jeremy, what we're going to do during the off season. We'll do it.
Done.
We just got to fill the 10 months in between episodes.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'll probably come in when I like just a night like tonight where I don't have a ton going on and I'm actually off. I'll come in. I'll sit in the podcast. I'll make stupid jokes about whatever you guys are talking about.
Please do. But I don't care if you watch the show or not. Just talk shit.
That's good because I'm not going to. But I want you the next time I come on, Desmond, to have at least started Severance. I think if you start Severance, you're not going to be able to stop it. Honestly, I think you are going to.
It's funny you mentioned that. My coworker who was watching tonight was just telling me about that shit yesterday and today. Yeah. He was like, God, it's like my fucking crack, dude. He's like, it's so good. I'm like, really?
I rewatched season one because I kind of forgot it's been over a year.
It's the third season right now?
No, second season. That's it. So I rewatched season one because I kind of forgot what had happened. End of season one, I was like, ooh, that was so awesome.
Joss was saying. He said he caught up and he was just like, oh, fuck, I need more.
It's good.
All right. I got to go, you guys.
All right. I'll let you go.
If I don't stop this show, I'm never going to record another one.
May you always find water and shade. Jeremy, thank you for coming. Des, I love you. Editor, thanks for being here.
Watch Wheel of Time.
Put your dagger in the horn box. You can send your comments to jeremygaines@soulcom.net.edu.tru.gov.
Yo, we got a hard stop. I'm taking the headphones off at 90 minutes. Fuck you. I win again.
I know.
I win again.
Oh, what the?
Send your email comments to fattythechef@maga.com.
What's Trump's social media thing? Justin,
China?
What's Trump's social media?
China?
Get everyone on?
I have no Jeremy,
don't act like you don't know.
Jeremy's already on it.
I have zero social media, sorry.
It's called blue. It's called orangeman.com.
Oh, Truth Social. Jeremy Gaines at truthsocial.net.
Jeremy Gaines. Yeah, you can get a hold of me at Fatty the Chef at Truth Social.
All right. Everybody out there, if you've made it this far, you are our audience, period. Be here Thursday nights at 8 p.m.
All
put
right.
your dagger in your horn box.
May you always find water and shade.
Don't close your webpage for 10 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. I won't. I win again, Luz Theron. Thanks, Jeremy. Love you, brother. Love
Can I hit leave studio?
Yes.
No.
All right. Yeah. Just
yes.
Don't leave and upload.
Hey, Justin.
What?
If you think she's up for it.
She's not.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
And this is where the hilarious outtake would appear.